Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I went on a solo camping trip and saw something I'll never forget. I haven't written anything on here in years, and honestly, I didn't think I ever would. But I need to get this out here while I still can, before he finds me again. I've always been a big camping guy. Going out into the wilderness helps me reset. I'm not married, I don't have kids, and I work a desk job that keeps me staring at a screen for way too many hours a week. Camping is one of the few things that actually makes me feel normal. No phone, no distractions. Just me and nature. It's easily the greatest thing in the world. A few days ago, I decided to take a solo camping trip to a lake that I used to visit as a kid with my dad. I wanted peace and quiet. I needed to get away. I planned to stay just a couple of nights, just enough to clear my head. I packed up my gear, put it in the car, and within an hour, I was on the road. The lake wasn't far. Maybe a 20-minute drive. I parked near the trailhead, grabbed my backpack, chair, and tent, and started the short hike.
It's about a 10 to 15-minute walk, surrounded by tall trees and brush that look exactly the same as they did when I was little. Nothing's been trimmed in years. The thorns on some of the bushes were long enough to catch on my pants as I passed. About halfway in, I thought I heard something. A rustle. Maybe 10 or 15 feet ahead of me. I stopped and listened. The sun was still out, so I should have been able to see someone or at least an outline. But there was nothing. I took a few cautious steps forward, still scanning the trees. Nothing moved. No more sound. I brushed it off. Likely just a small animal. Eventually, the water came into view, and the trees opened up. The spot was exactly how I remembered it. Small, secluded, about half the size of a football field. A short boardwalk looks out over the lake and thick forest surrounds the area on all sides. You feel completely cut from the rest of the world out here. A huge wave of nostalgia came over me, and it felt bittersweet that I was back out here without my dad. I dropped my backpack and started setting up camp. The rest of the day went by quietly. It was really peaceful. Just what I needed. By the time the sun had set, I was sitting by the stove, heating up a can of chili and watching the light go down beneath the trees. The forest was so still, like the air was holding its breath. A breeze came through, cool against my skin, a contrast to the warmth of the chili in my hands. I stared down at the dirt as I ate in silence, lost in thought. When I finally looked up, I froze. Just beyond the tree line, I saw a figure. It was standing still, half shrouded by branches, watching me. The moment my eyes met it, the figure ducked behind a tree, and I heard the dry, unnaturally quick rustle of footsteps retreating back deeper into the woods. It was too dark to make out much, but it was tall, human-shaped, definitely a person. I stood, heart starting to pick up, and grabbed the flashlight and knife I had laid beside me earlier. I didn't know if whoever was out there meant harm, but I wasn't about to sit there and wait to find out. I stepped into the trees slowly, sweeping the beam of my flashlight through the underbrush, scanning every inch of the forest ahead of me. I spent another minute searching the woods, but the figure, whoever it was gone. I took a deep breath, calming my nerves down. I was still on edge, but I tried to forget about it as I made my way back to my spot, turning my flashlight off. Nothing else happened the rest of that night. I ate the rest of my chili, then stayed up a little bit reading a book before putting it down and turning my lantern off before I went into my tent, setting up my sleeping bag and going to sleep. It took me a little while to fall asleep because I still felt uneasy. That encounter was strange, and whoever it was had to be out there still because I was still thinking about it. I fell asleep. I woke up suddenly. It didn't feel like I had been asleep long, maybe an hour or two at most. I sat up, groggy, and unzipped my tent. The woods outside were still dark, silent. I poked my head out and scanned the area. Nothing. I sighed and zipped the tent shut again. Nothing had woken me up, or so I thought. I laid back down, closed my eyes, and tried to fall asleep again. Then I heard it. A clunk. What sounded like my lantern tipping over and hitting the ground just outside the tent. The sound wasn't loud, but it was sharp and sudden, and it jolted me upright. I leaned forward, hand on my flashlight, and unzipped the tent just a few inches to listen. The night was still. Only the faint splash of the lake and the occasional breeze in the trees. My lantern had fallen over. I could see that now. But the wind hadn't been strong enough to do it. Not even close. I glanced towards the trees, and that same feeling returned, that tight, cold unease in my chest. I didn't see anything out there, but I didn't feel alone, not even a little. I zipped the tent shut again and sat there in silence, gripping the flashlight, trying to convince myself I was just being paranoid. It took me a long time to fall asleep again. The next morning, I had almost forgotten the whole thing. I rubbed my eyes, stretched, and stepped out of the tent into the crisp morning air. I grabbed a small bucket from my backpack and started towards the lake to get some water to wash up. That's when I saw them. Footprints. Clear as day, pressed deep into the dirt at the edge of the water. I froze. The prints weren't facing the lake. They were facing away from it, towards my campsite. I followed them with my eyes, my chest tightening with each step. The prints led straight from the water to my tent and stopped there. my heart dropped. I wasn't paranoid. Someone had come out of the lake and stood right where I slept. I didn't know what to think. If that person came back, how could they just come from the water? Why would they? It didn't make any sense. I stared into the lake like I expected to see something floating, a raft, a wetsuit, anything.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But the water was still. Just ripples and reflection. My hands were trembling a bit as I lifted the bucket. I tried to keep it together on the walk back to camp, but I'll be honest, I was shaken. I looked around as I moved, scanning the trees, expecting to see someone step out at any second. No one did. I warmed the water on my stove and used a washcloth to clean up, just trying to distract myself. While I scrubbed my arms and face, I kept thinking, trying to rationalize. Maybe it was a prank. Maybe some jackass was hiding out here trying to scare hikers for fun. But who would go to those lengths just to knock over a lantern and leave muddy footprints? It felt too deliberate. Like it was staged for me. After drying off, I went to clip my knife back onto my belt, but it wasn't there. I checked around the stove near the sleeping bag and inside my tent. Nothing. My stomach dropped. I could have sworn I set it beside me that night before, but now it was just gone. I stood there for a minute, feeling like an idiot. That was the one thing I didn't want to lose. I told myself maybe I left it somewhere when I was searching the woods. Still, I didn't like the idea of not having it on me, not with whatever was going on out here. I didn't do much the rest of the morning. I ate a little, tried reading again, but couldn't focus. I even went fishing. But it didn't feel right. For the hour I was at the lake, I felt like I was being watched. Every sound felt amplified. Every twig crack made me flinch. I didn't want to admit it to myself, but I was considering packing up and heading out early. At some point in the afternoon, I decided to walk the trail a little bit. Not far, just enough to stretch my legs and get away from the tent. I needed to clear my head. About 5 minutes into the trail, I passed a tree with something etched into the bark. My name. Not just scratched in, carved. Deep, jagged letters. My full name, first and last. And right at the base of the tree, was my knife, just lying there, like someone had placed it on display. I stared at it, my heart pounding. I hadn't brought anything sharp enough to do that kind of carving besides a knife, and I'm damn sure I didn't do it myself. I looked over my shoulder, then down at the knife again. The bark was still fresh, damp.
Whatever carved my name into that tree had done it recently, like hours ago. I picked the knife up slowly, trying to keep my breathing steady. My hands felt clammy. That was the moment something clicked in my brain. This wasn't just a trespasser. It knew my name. I suddenly thought I needed proof. I could show the police, the footprints by the lake, the carving in the tree. I had brought my phone along for emergencies, but I'd left it in my backpack back at the campsite. I turned and headed back fast. The whole walk, I felt like something was behind me. Not close, but just far enough to stay hidden. I didn't stop to look. I didn't want to know. When I got back to the campsite, my heart sank. My backpack was open, but I knew I had zipped it shut. I spun around, scanning the woods, half expecting to see someone standing there watching me. No one.
Gritting my teeth, I dropped to my knees and started digging through my bag. My clothes were still there. So were the snacks, the first aid kit, and my water bottle. But the phone was gone. Someone had been here. They had gone through my stuff, moved things around like they were looking for something, and they took my phone. I sat back on the dirt and let out a frustrated yell, gripping my face in my hands. My breathing was heavy and scattered. I stayed like that for a while, just thinking. I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't want to stay another second. But when I looked up, the sun had already dipped below behind the treetops. I had no idea what time it was without my phone, but the sky was dimming fast. I ran through options in my head. The hike back to the car was 15 minutes, maybe less if I was moving fast and not watching every branch. And then what? Drive down an empty road with something possibly following me? With this thing still out here? If it had wanted to hurt me, wouldn't it have already? I hated it, but a part of me thought I'd be safer staying put until the morning. Maybe I'd even catch it and see who it really was. I don't know. I was scared, but I was also pissed off. Whoever was out there had taken my phone, carved my name into the tree, walked right up to my tent, and stood there while I slept. If it came back tonight, I wasn't going to just sit and wait. I had a plan. I spent the next hour setting up a trap. Nothing fancy, just some fishing line I tied between nearby trees about knee high, and a few metal spoons I'd brought, and a can hanging from it. It circled around my tent with a wide loop. If anything got close, I'd hear it. I took a step back and admired my masterpiece. This had to work. Once I was satisfied, I tried to relax. I warmed up a can of soup and sat by the fire with my bowl in hand, trying to pretend this was just another night. I rocked in my chair, looking at the lake and zoning out as I thought back to when I was a kid, maybe 7 or 8. My dad used to bring me here almost every weekend. He'd make a fire, cook hot dogs, and let me drink root beer from his camping mug while we watched the stars, and he'd tell me stories from when he was a kid. I always loved those nights. Some of my favorite memories with my dad are from out here, and whenever I was out here with him, he was quieter and softer than usual. At home, he was a typical dad, just a hard ass on us, but out here, it's like he felt calmer. There was one trip I never forgot, and it was the last trip we ever took out here. I was already in the tent, bundled in a sleeping bag, getting cozy, when I heard my dad walking around outside. Then I heard his voice, low, sharp, like he was talking to someone. I peeked out and saw him standing by the edge of the trees with his flashlight raised, staring into the woods. His eyes were wide, and his breaths weren't composed like they normally were. When I asked him what he was doing, he didn't answer right away. He seemed like he was in a trance, but eventually, he looked at me.
"Hey, kid," he said.
He told me not to worry about it. Probably just a fox or some other animal. But I remember his face. He looked scared. I had never seen my dad like that. Not before, not after. I think I forgot that memory until now, and I realized at that moment that something about this felt too similar to what my dad experienced out here. And I remembered, after that night, my dad became way more protective of me than he normally was before.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Whenever I asked if we could come back out here again, he would immediately shut the idea down and tell me to never bring it up again. As a kid, I never understood what my dad was making such a big deal of, but something began clicking inside my brain, and I felt my hands grow cold even as I held the hot bowl of soup. That's when I heard it. The faint clunk of metal just behind the tent. My body stiffened. I slowly set the bowl down and grabbed my flashlight and knife, my heart already racing. I turned just in time to see a figure duck behind the back of the tent. It moved like a person, but too fast, almost like it knew how to avoid being seen. I tried taking deep breaths, but I found it difficult to compose myself. Words can't describe how terrified I was. I stepped forward, carefully, keeping my light low and trying not to make noise as I circled around the other side of the tent. I swallowed hard, preparing myself, but just as I rounded the corner, something rustled behind me. I jumped and spun around and saw a raccoon dart out from the brush, brushing through some leaves, and it vanished into the trees. "Jesus!" I muttered, stumbling back a step. Then, I heard a soft splash from behind me. I turned back, not seeing a figure behind the tent anymore. I then looked towards the lake and raised my light. The surface of the water rippled, not violently, but as if something had just entered it. I stepped closer, scanning the shoreline. Nothing. Just the circles widening out over the dark water. Whatever was there, whoever that was, they were gone again. I started questioning if this was a person now. How were they that quick? If they were a person, they would have to come from the water eventually. But as I waited for a minute, I never saw anyone come up to the surface. I stood there in disbelief, heart pounding. My thoughts raced, but none of them made sense. People don't move like that. People can't just disappear into the water like that. That thought stayed in my mind for the rest of the night. After that, I was done with this, and I went into my tent to go to sleep so I could leave first thing in the morning. But I couldn't go to sleep right away. I just laid there thinking. I might have laid there for a couple hours before something snapped me out of my daze. Footsteps. I froze, my heart in my throat. The footsteps were gentle and steady, yet intentional. Whatever it was, slowly circled around my tent a couple of times, and the entire time I was trying my hardest not to make a single sound. I'd never been more scared in my life. I held the sleeping bag to my chest tightly, shutting my eyes as the footsteps continued around my tent, and for the first time in my life, I started praying to God under my breath. Then, the footsteps stopped in front of my tent. I opened my eyes, staring ahead. I felt their presence. I knew they were standing there, and they knew I was there. A minute passed by with nothing happening. They didn't walk away. Then, it spoke.
I see you.
My heart stopped. It was my voice, raspy, hollow, and wrong. Then, I heard it sprint away into the woods. I exploded out of the tent, throwing my gear together. I did not care that it was midnight. I was getting the fuck out of there. As I was packing, I heard movements in the woods ahead, where it had ran. I stopped then. With my trembling hands, I pointed my flashlight and turned it on. This time, it didn't hide. The light engulfed it, and I nearly let out a scream. It was me. Wet, face rotten, bloated and bruised. Its right shoulder bone stuck out through torn skin. Its knees looked infected. Its face, my face, was pale and corpse-like. It stared at me, expressionless. As I stood, trying to process what I was seeing, the thing suddenly charged at me, faster than anything I had ever seen. Before I could even react, it slammed into me and wrapped its hands around my neck, beginning to choke me. It shoved me back against the tent, its eyes locked with mine, staring into me like it was trying to become me. I gasped and clawed at its arms, trying to break free, but it was impossibly strong. It didn't flinch. I could feel tears welling up in my eyes as I was forced to stare into its face, the distorted version of my own, its bored expression maintained. My vision started to blur. I could feel myself slipping away as the pressure tightened, my limbs going numb. Instinct took over as I fumbled blindly at my side, fingers wrapping around the handle of my knife. I drew it and drove it into its eye with all my strength. It staggered back, finally releasing me as I collapsed to my knees, coughing and gasping for air. It didn't scream or make any noise for that matter. It just grunted, low and guttural, as it reached up and slowly pulled the knife out of its socket. Now, Its left eye was just a black, hollow void. I didn't wait. I scrambled to my feet and bolted for the trail, leaving everything behind. I could hear it following, but slower now, almost like it was playing with me. By the time I reached the edge of the woods and saw my car, my legs felt like they were about to give out. I fumbled with the keys, nearly dropping them before unlocking the door. But something made me stop and look back before getting in. There it was, at the top of the trailhead, watching me. It didn't chase me or move. It just stood there. I jumped in, started the car, and drove out as fast as I could. It never moved, just kept watching as I sped away. When I got home, it felt like I had just escaped hell. I didn't even make it to the shower. I collapsed face first onto my bed and blacked out. Even now, I can't process what I saw. Even writing this, I don't even think I'm describing it in well enough detail. I can't stop thinking about it. That it was me the whole time, that it looked like me, moved like me, even spoke like me, still shakes me to my core. And I can't shake the feeling that I'm being watched.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every second. The next morning, I woke up and immediately felt off. I opened my eyes and felt the chill in the air before I saw the fabric around me. I was back in the tent, at the lake. I sat up dazed. Had I never left? Was it all a dream? Then I saw something outside, lying on the ground just in front of the tent. It was a photograph. I stepped out slowly and picked it up. It was an old Polaroid of my dad, standing in our childhood home. It was a picture I hadn't seen in years. My hands trembled as I turned it over. On the back, in handwriting identical to mine, were three words. See you soon.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.